So Paul here is saying about Titus, describing in the present tense how it is that Titus ended up in Corinth, carrying the letter, 2 Corinthians, and collecting or initiating the collection for when Paul comes. He says, "But thanks be to God who puts the same earnest care for you into the heart of Titus, for he not only accepted the exhortation, but being more diligent, he went to you of his own accord." Now, kids, we love, it's very encouraging to us when we tell you to do something and you give your dad or your mom a cheerful yes, daddy, or yes, mommy, or yes, sir, or yes, ma'am. We were yes, sir, and yes, ma'am when we were in Mississippi, and then moved to Iowa, and it was daddy and mommy, which were still terms of respect, and I'm starting to get more sirs, and actually sometimes some mistaken ma'ams in my house again. It's encouraging when you tell a kid to do a chore, and they give you a cheerful response, and right away, they do it completely, they do it as well as they can, they come back, and you're just thankful to see that that grace worked out. It's even more encouraging when you don't have to tell them to do it. You say, you know, I think it would be really good if, and you make a suggestion. They say, can I play? Well, you can. You start out by giving them the options, so you can. You could do that for half an hour and then come back or whatever. But it would be really nice if, and you make a suggestion to the child. And then the child runs and does it cheerfully, and you know, maybe even gives you that yes, sir, on the front end, does it excellently until it's done and comes back rejoicing to have received the exhortation, but without having to be commanded, did it on their own. That is even more encouraging. That's what happened with Titus here. You know, it's something along those lines. I don't know what exactly the exhortation is that is talked about in verse 17. Could be something like, you know, Titus, it would be really great if one of us went down to Corinth and saw how they were doing and found out how that discipline case turned out and let them know about the collection that we've been taking and what the Macedonians have done. And maybe you could carry a letter I've been writing. And he says, God puts the same earnest care for you into the heart of Titus, for he not only accepted the exhortation, but being more diligent, he went to you out of his own accord. Well, if we can remember all the way to last week, this is the second time this kind of thing has been mentioned by the apostle in a short space. Remember, he said, I don't command you. I don't command you to give. I could have. It's the right thing to do. But your neighbor, they have. The Judeans don't. But who remembers why he didn't give it as a command? I speak not by commandment, but so that they could show what out of themselves? Same kind of thing that God has put in the Titus' heart. So that rather than their giving because Paul said so, they would give out of sincere love, right? I speak not by commandment, but I'm testing the sincerity of your love, showing the sincerity of your love. I'm telling you what they did so that your love will be stirred up too. And you say, we can do that too. And your love and their love will look the same so that it will be visible that both came from where? That both came from God. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, there is this emphasis on how this is an opportunity for what Jesus is doing in the hearts of the Corinthians to be displayed. Every time you have an opportunity to be good, especially if you don't have to, especially if you're not commanded, there is an opportunity, and we can recognize it. We say, Lord, make my response here, make my doing this a display of your love and who you are and what you are doing. So he makes that comment about Titus. He's saying, this is God's work in Titus. You know, you can brag on somebody. You can say, you know, Titus loves you so much. Let me tell you what he said about you. Yeah, he didn't have to come, but I had mentioned it. He just loves you so much. Then we're describing something that came from who? Came from Titus. But God violated his free will. Well, there are some people who think of it that way, right? That if God puts good things into people that weren't already there, but thanks be to God who puts the same earnest care for you into the heart of Titus. God actually changed what Titus is like. He actually improved what Titus' heart is like. So God is the one who gets the credit. It's not about how much Titus loves you. Titus doesn't love you that much. But ultimately, it's about what God is doing and about the working out of the grace of Christ in him. And we have sent him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. Best guess, Luke. I think it's wonderful that he's not named. It's obviously intentional that he's not named. Okay, Paul, writing by the Holy Spirit, did not forget to put in which brother this was. There's something communicated about the fact that he's not important. That again, it is Christ, and it is the gospel of Christ, and his telling the gospel of Christ and the praise that comes for that doesn't belong to him. You know, Paul is sending a celebrity pastor to Corinth, but he is actually doing the opposite of today, what we tend to do. He is hiding the identity of the celebrity pastor. You know, you don't put out a conference flyer and say, we've invited a brother whose praise is in the gospel and all the churches to preach, and leave his name off, do you? Unless you are the apostle writing by the Holy Spirit, and you're making the point over and over and over again that the work is Christ's, the life is Christ's, the goodness is Christ's, the praise is Christ's. Notice he uses the word brother. Could have said evangelist, especially since he says in the verse that his praise is in the gospel in all the churches, in the telling of the good news in all the churches. But he chose the word brother. Why? Because your brother is from the same family as you are, right? Is he not holding before them subtly the fact that this work that Christ is doing in him has its analogy, has its parallel in the work that Christ can do in them, that Christ can do in you? Like Dear Hope Wellians, as we've begun to call you, although that sounds like the name of an alien race from another planet. That whether this is Luke or Apollos, I don't know why Apollos comes up so much. People got to get PhDs. But whoever this is, that it was the Lord Jesus who had put that into Titus's heart, who was working this in this brother's heart, and who is working in you. It's almost like you get both ends of the spectrum, right? Because we might hear that and we would say, well, I don't know. Obviously the Lord can work in Paul and Titus and Apollos, but I don't know if he could work in me. But who's Paul writing to? Non-Corinthians. That's a great encouragement. If he can work in the Corinthians, he can work in any of us. Alright, so he shows it with Titus, he shows it with Luke. He says not only that, but he was also chosen by the churches. He's going to give a little section here in verses 19 through 21. Because it is the work of Jesus, it is even more important that we be careful to guard the honor of the work. Yeah. On one hand, you say, well, all the glory belongs to Christ, so I don't care for them to think well of me. Does that mean you do it in a dishonorable way or a way that can be blameworthy? No. It actually works the other way around, doesn't it? I don't want any glory for me. So we could use that as an excuse. Oh, I handled myself in this offensive way, and I did that insensitive thing, and so that's all right, because I'm not trying to make people like me. All glory belongs to Jesus. Oh, yeah, you're really working hard to get glory for Jesus, aren't you? You're just using Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'm insensitive because of Jesus. I'm offensive because of Jesus. Does that sound right? No. So Paul is about to explain, verses 19 to 21, why they're being so careful to handle money honorably. And it's because the glory goes to Jesus, and if they handle it in a way that is dishonorable or that calls into question whether it has been honestly handled, as opposed to Judas, whose hand was in the money bag, then the glory of Christ that was supposed to be on display will have shame brought upon it. And so on the one hand, we don't want people to think great about us. We want them to think great about Christ, who does work in us. And we love that he would get glory for that. But on the other hand, because we want them to think greatly, and honor Christ greatly, we want to deal with them in the best, most honorable, unblameable way possible. So that as we put forth the glory of Christ in whatever we do, we don't bring shame to him. So listen again, and I'll reread these verses that we read together already. And not only that, but he was also chosen by the churches. Okay, so the ones who gave the money chose him. There's a good Bible principle there. That those who are giving the money would choose the treasurer. Choose the one who carries. Choose the one who dispenses. Because that says to other people who ask about all the money that's passing through here, how did that person end up to be on the people who it is costing, the people out of whose pockets those dollars are coming, decided on that person. Not only that, but who's also chosen by the churches to travel with us with the gift, which is administered by us. Okay, so we are one. I mean, somebody has to carry it to Jerusalem, right? But look, do you see here the connection? To the glory of the Lord himself. And to show your ready mind, avoiding this. He's inviting them. You agree, please agree, that Luke, or whoever it is, they'll know who it is, right? Because he's with Titus. It isn't important for us to know who it is. It's kind of important for them to know who it is. If they are also going to join with the other churches in voting for him to carry it to Jerusalem. But he's going to show up. He's going to be there when the word is read, right? So, not a problem. So you're already mind avoiding this, that anyone should blame us in this lavish gift which is administered by us. So, by us to whose glory? Okay, he repeats administered by us in verse 20, and we still have ringing in our ears in verse 19, administered by us to the glory of the Lord, providing honorable things, not only in the sight of the Lord. The Lord already knows he's glorious, and we do love to please him and do what is right in his eyes, but we don't just want the Lord to see us treat him as glorious. Whom else do we want to see treat him as glorious? But also in the sight of men. This is not the only place. There are many places in which the New Testament talks about the effect of good administration of what is given, the gospel converting effect in which God uses that. If we were to go back to Acts chapter 6 and look at, there was a complaint that grew up among the, or started to swell up around the, amongst the Hellenist widows, the Greek culture widows in the church in Jerusalem at that time, that they were being overlooked in the distribution. And that's the point at which the brothers, the apostles say, we're not going to abandon the word and prayer, the gospel ministry. We'll devote ourselves to prayer. into the ministry of the Word, and the Holy Spirit leads them to ordain the first deacons, and it solves the problem. And then there's this little, just almost throwaway sentence at the end of the account, and a great number of the priests came to the faith. Right, the priests were the ones who, in the Old Covenant, they handled the collecting and distributing of alms for the poor, gifts for the poor. When they saw the Holy Spirit wrought, Jesus Christ's life in them honoring way of distributing fairly and appropriately, equitably, the money that was being given in the church, that's what the Lord used to bring a great number of the priests to the faith. It's almost a shocking thing to hear that phrase. If, you know, we've been in John for a while. This happens in other Gospels too. The priests were not big fans of Jesus. Okay. Similar idea here in 2 Corinthians 8:21. Providing honorable things not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Right, we're administrating the gift, we're administering the gift for the glory of the Lord, to the glory of the Lord Himself. And so we're trying to do it in a way that will not just be honorable in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. So the Lord is doing this work in Titus, and we want the Lord to get the honor. The Lord is doing this work in Nameless Evangelist, and he's nameless, because we want the Lord to get his honor. And now we want you also to agree and commit to having him carry it, so that the money can be handled in an appropriate way, so that it will be done honorably, not only in the sight of the Lord. Not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them another brother, maybe another brother. Some people think verse 22 is Titus, but brethren is mentioned in verse 23, which could be Titus and the other guy, or it could be Titus and the other guy and the verse 22 guy. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have often proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent because of the confidence we have in you. Very similar language to what he used in Titus earlier, which is why a lot of people think it's Titus. But either way, it's still striking that point of the Lord is giving diligence, and the diligence is getting fruit. There is confidence in one another, and when that confidence is proved true, the grace of Christ in each of us is being displayed and is being praised. If anyone inquires about Titus, he says, he is my partner and fellow worker concerning you. Or if our brethren, you know, verse 18 guy and verse 22 guy, are inquired about, they are messengers, and the word is apostles, sent ones on behalf of the churches. Okay, so they are representatives of the churches. Therefore, show to them, the churches are the glory of Christ. Again, it's not the churches themselves or even the representative, the sent one from the church, who is so important, but the fact that Christ is being glorified in all of this. Therefore, show to them before the churches. Word and, again, it's from the eclectic piecemeal text that most of our English translations, most common English translations now are based on. That therefore show to them before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. Don't forget, he says, that the churches are the glory of Christ. When you see what they are doing and they conduct themselves well, give glory to Christ. And as you show your love, and as you show that what we have said about you is true, remember, you're not showing your glory. You're a church too. The Corinthians are a church, right? Who else is in a church? Okay? We're going to meet one of those right-angled, grumbly, grumpy people. Grumpy congregations. He says, well, yeah, nobody likes us. We're the only reformed ones around. You can have a spirit like that. It comes across that way. I don't think if we view ourselves as a church and the glory of Christ that we want to come across that way. You're not responsible for what the other people think, but you are responsible for how you conduct yourselves. And that we would not be the obstacle. And a helpful conversation about that earlier. And that we would not be the obstacle and say, look, you have an opportunity to show Christ's glory. So that, you ever seen the, I don't even know what movie house it is, and I'm sorry to use it as an illustration, but I'm trying to think of another one in which you have a bunch of kind of little lights that kind of come on, and eventually there's so many of them that the whole thing looks like one great big shining ball. There's a picture of the displays of the glory of Christ. Here's the glory of Christ in the Macedonian church. Here's the glory of Christ in Titus. Here's the glory of Christ in Luke, perhaps. Here's the glory of Christ in verse 22 guy. And little lights are coming on, and the display of the glory of Christ is increasing altogether. And he says, don't you Corinthians want to participate in that? Isn't that something you want to be a part of? Is it something that you want to be a part of? Would you like for the world around us to see what a great Savior Jesus is by the difference that He makes in such great sinners as we are? Lord, grant that it would be so to His glory. Dave, will you pray for us?